Hold on there a second, Dr. Gray. Are you saying there's really a Sleepy Hollow?
Rosemary waited for the students' excited chatter to die down. These guest lectures at small colleges were her favorite, where she could actually look into the audience and see the sparks in the eyes of the undergraduates, could almost hear their chairs scraping the floor just a little bit as they sat up straighter upon realizing that this particular lecture would not be the dull, compulsory torture they'd expected.
That's right. What's your name, please?
Roger,
the young man called from the middle of the small auditorium.
That's right, Roger. And this is one of those wonderful instances when history and literature collide. There really is a Sleepy Hollow in upstate New York. But back in Washington Irving's time, remember, it was known by another name. And here, Rosemary affected her soft, ever so slightly spooky storytelling voice. Irving spoke of a little place about 3 miles from Tarrytown, New York, in a little valley or lap of land among high hills, which is one of the quietest places in the whole world.
She almost whispered these last words. The students were silent now, a miracle in Rosemary's estimation. She clicked the small remote in her hand to display a photo of a beautiful, picture postcard New England village on the screen behind her.
Most likely, Irving spoke of the village of North Tarrytown, she said, gesturing toward the photo, and named it Sleepy Hollow in his writing. And get this, it's only a few hours away from here.
I encourage you to visit there sometime, but be sure to stay overnight so you can look out for the horsemen. There was a mix of giggling and quiet conversation among the students.
So, today we've learned that studying literature from a historical perspective gives the great stories so much more depth and helps us to appreciate them in entirely new ways. We've learned that there really is a Sleepy Hollow. We've learned that there truly was an Ichabod Crane, but that it was another man entirely who actually inspired the lanky, awkward character we all know and love. And the Headless Horseman himself? We've uncovered his probable identity.
Rosemary clicked through more slides, ending with one of an old covered bridge.
Did a ghostly headless horseman really gallop up to this bridge and disappear in a flash of fire and brimstone?
Probably not. Probably the Dutch settlers in the area were just great storytellers.
But as you leave here today and go out into the world, I would encourage you to remember that there is some bit of truth to be found in every legend.
There was an enthusiastic round of applause as Rosemary thanked the university for hosting her. Then she gathered her papers, shoved them into her worn leather messenger bag, shook a few hands, and was off. Out in the parking lot, Rosemary encouraged her rickety convertible to start. It was a 1979 Volkswagen Beetle in the original Alpine White, and it refused to put up with nonsense of any kind, including inclement weather, obnoxious passengers, and low-quality engine oils.
Come on, baby. It's 72 degrees and the humidity's low. Your favorite weather conditions.
She cranked the key again, and the engine finally thrummed to life.
Yes, I knew you could do it.
She'd even been able to wrestle the top down, a complicated procedure in the case of this particular bug, involving snaps, Velcro, folding, tucking, and a lot of elbow grease. Top down meant messy hair, but it didn't matter. Not where Rosemary was headed. She hurriedly slipped a rubber band around her auburn curls to keep them out of her face and put the car in gear. It was a glorious Connecticut afternoon, and as Rosemary ambled along winding roads past charming towns and villages, she smiled at the memory of buying the old convertible all those years ago. Sure, it was finicky and only started with a bit of coaxing and the occasional threat, but on days like this, when the top came down, the car seemed like the highest luxury in the world. Was there anything better than a crisp fall day under a blue sky? And best of all, Rosemary was on her way to visit her favorite person in the world, her best friend, Jack Stone. She and Jack had met in college and had instantly clicked. She'd been working on her undergrad in history, he on his in literature,